Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. I know I get excited about every guest that I have on my show, but this is like way more exciting because I have been working with this woman so long. We've been friends for so long, and now I get to put her on the mic, and I know she doesn't like to be in the forefront. Everybody, please meet Autumn Janine.
Hello, world.
I know that this is like pulling teeth right now. So can you please tell everybody where you're from, my dear?
I am originally from Detroit, Michigan, moved here to Toledo like 13 years ago.
And what have you been doing for the last 13 years?
Self-discovery through creative processes of sewing and jewelry designing, crafting, cooking, and such.
Okay. And I mostly know you for all of those things, but I have been around you in the fashion capacity because you can basically make anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You told me before that you learned how to sew with your mom from a very young age. Can you walk us through how that childhood experience shaped your path to becoming a couture fashion designer?
My mom kind of saw how I was when I was like 8 or 9 years old, cutting up the Barbies clothes and hair and stuff. And by the time I was 10, she introduced me to CNN's fashion shows every Saturday at 10 o'clock. And I would watch that every single day. She put me in sewing classes, and I kind of got bored with it because they were just plain and not creative enough for me. By the time I got to high school, I wanted to be like everybody else because, you know, you get bullied for being different, you know, growing up. And she told me to just be myself. Don't look like everybody else. And one day I said, okay. And I got enough courage to just start creating my own clothes throughout my entire high school career. Didn't care who talked about me or what. And it goes back and forth between trying to fit in with society and being different. And that's the hard part about being fashionable, you know, and overly creative. You're just not a boring person. And none of my clothes, and she's seen it, are ever really that boring.
I can tell you just from sitting across from her, she has a big rainbow denim felt, sleeves with colorful things on it. You'll see it when we post our pictures. This is really awesome. Are you second generation or third generation in fashion and seamstressing and all that?
Actually, I'm first. My mom and them did sew, but not to the capacity of what I do it in.
Okay. Your work often highlights individuality and even what clients might call flaws. How do you translate that philosophy into your design process?
Everybody is unique, and this is what helps me create different pieces because I didn't want to create folk pieces where everyone looks the same. So even if I made like a tiny mistake, they might like it and I might not like it. But it turns into like a very creative piece for that person because that person just told me how to dress them and showcase their own personal creativity and their own character within themselves.
So you can do like brand new designs, but you also have, I've seen you take like thrifted stuff and make stuff as well.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite. Like, I'm wearing a repurposed piece.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, I could not tell. I thought it was something brand new. House of Genie is your line, and it isn't just a place where you teach sewing and jewelry making. What inspired you to invest in community education, and how has teaching influenced your own growth?
I actually love doing it more for the kids. I saw that they took these programs out of the schooling, and they were having issues with their academics. And a lot of people don't realize that the creative arts are actually what helps propel the kids to be strong enough academically. So I figure, you know, if they took it out, I can just provide it. I may not be licensed or have the degree to do such a thing, but I have the skills and the know-how to teach them how to do it. And it makes me feel good that they feel good wearing or creating something that they made of their own. Whereas they do better in other parts of their life and they're like, hey, look at me, I'm happy. They just want to be them and they want to be seen.
That's beautiful. You did a show for me called 40 Fine and 50 Fine a couple years ago where you presented couture pieces on models 40 and up. Why was it important for you to design for that age demographic? And what does that mean to you to have them in your clothes?
I worked in corporate for a long time, and it's like the most boring more in wardrobe you can ever possibly have. And a lot of times, you know, we want to be creative, we want to be set apart in those fields. And so that particular show had them feeling like princesses or goddesses for that day because they were in bold, bright colors or in clothing that they can't wear to work. They can wear after work or dress it up either way.
Yeah, that was nice. I enjoyed seeing your stuff, and I enjoyed seeing how happy the women and men were wearing the clothes, knowing that they were being put on the runway, thinking that modeling is only for teens and 20-year-olds. Yes. No, that's not true. So you have an atelier, which involves both creative vision and business logistics. How do you balance your role as an artist with the practical demands of running a fashion business?
That took some years of practicing and knowing how to schedule everything together. So now that I've done several shows, I know that 2 weeks before the show, I give a whole broadcasted text message to the entire family. Do not bother me for 2 weeks. You have to feed yourself so that I can maintain and focus on the designs at hand, the show that's coming up, and everything needs to be done. They're helpful in the process of it, and they all understand it. So it takes time.
Yeah.
And a good schedule.
Well, you just did your third Flaunt fashion show, the fundraiser for Equality Toledo. Mm-hmm. And I was in the audience and I saw some of the best designs I've ever seen from you. And I remember you saying, do not call me. Do not bother me. This is not happening. Mm-hmm. And I would be so upset because I'm like, dang, I want to talk to her, but I can't. And I mean, that whole time, I think it was like 2 or 3 months. Like, what zone were you in?
I wanted to push myself more. I wanted to see what else I was capable of doing and not rushing myself like a college exam at the last final hour, even though that's what we do anyway. But that's, I'm a stress designer to where I create my best pieces at the last minute. So in that time frame of me telling you, don't call me, that's one of those moments to where I need to focus as an artist and concentrate on what I'm doing, the buttons I need to be, because if you call me, I'm going to forget. So this is why it's important to listen to the designers or artists tell you in this time frame, you cannot be bothered because our minds are not focused on worldly things at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just us right now.
Yeah. And you didn't do it last minute. I can see the great difference. Oh, okay. Don't tell them that.
No, they have to know. I'm like, this is not an easy world. Like, we do a lot of last minute things.
Well, you had me not speaking to you during this time, but I know that the outcome was greater than the norm. And I mean, nothing you do is normal, but I really think you're lying though, because you were working on that for 3 months though.
Yes, okay. But some stuff did not happen actually till that day. And like, you know, the gold leggings, I did it that morning.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I got to give you your credit because you can't tell by looking at it. Where do you see House of Genie in the next 5 to 10 years? Are there new collections or collaborations or mission-driven projects that you're working on?
I actually want to debut my own show in New York and then maybe travel and do a couple other shows. I may relocate to a much bigger, broader, fashionable type city because that'll help push my design creativity a little bit more so. I'd love to be somewhere where kids can come and create clothing or jewelry, depending on how I want to reset and rebrand myself in that fashion.
Well, tell me, how has Toledo helped you become the fashion designer you are today?
I began shy. Okay. And from there, I knew I wanted some more growth in my life outside of being just a mom. And because I knew how to sew, I didn't know anyone. So this being here in the city, you don't know anyone, helped me get outside of my own personal bubble. Which was hard. So yes, I cried a lot. But Toledo actually showed me how to love, how to care for other people, how to really speak my brand out to other folks just because it needed to be seen. Mm. So I'm thankful for all the people that I have met since I've been here on this journey. And I'm happy to meet more people as I grow some more.
I don't want to forget that you are a happy mommy and grandmom. How do you do it? 6 kids and how many grandkids?
One.
But that one's like 6.
No, he's more like 12.
Well,
he's only 2, but it's easier because they're older. You know, so because they're older, I actually get to start living the life I had wanted to live, and they get to be a part of that. They've actually modeled in a couple of shows I've done, and it's hard to get them to come outside too, just like me. So it's great.
Well, we are so glad that they are sharing you with us, because we have gotten a lot of beautiful, colorful pieces and enjoyment out of having you in our mix, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.